My name is Ken Oldfield, and I was brought in originally on Heidi High if they needed some dancing or movement or staging. I never quite knew what I was going to do until I arrived there. And David and Jimmy would give me a brief outline. Okay, this is what we're going to do here. And then I would just kind of create it on the spot with the actors. I mean, actors have so much input. So you have an idea, they'll run with it for a while, and then you go, okay, now let's pracy it down a bit. So that's how we worked. It was never, I never went in, right, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. You never quite knew what you're going to let yourself in for. So that was, it was thinking on the spot type thing. And we laughed a lot. I do remember that. It was just fun and outrageous at times. Do you know, it was probably my agent at the time, Jonathan Alteraz. And as you know, Andrew, it's all about contacts in this business. Maybe, I mean, I don't know, maybe Sue Pollard or Jeffrey or Ruth Maddox said, oh, get Ken Oldfield. I don't know how it kind of all came about, but I'm glad it did. So I went down there as a new kid on the block, basically, thinking, and I drove to Dovercourt, thinking, what am I going to do? But the cast made me so welcome. Some of them weren't involved in any movement at all, but there were times when David and Jimmy wanted an end of series or end of episode kind of pageant. And I remember one we were doing, I think it was about slaves or something and masters. They were all dressed in strange kind of Egyptian costumes. A lot of whipping going on, I remember. I don't think the cast could keep a straight face, especially Nikki Kelly and Sue Pollard. We all kind of lost the plot. David was in hysterics. And there wasn't time for long rehearsals because they were doing scenes, they were doing costume changes. So I had them from a brief time. And so in that time, I said, right, okay, this is what we're going to do. And it really was thinking on your feet time. And they responded and added their own sense of outrageousness and comedy. And that's, I don't think I remember seeing the episode. I don't know. I've tried to find it on YouTube or something, but I can't find it. But yes, it was like on the spur of the moment. Of course, once the actors get hold of it, you never quite know what's going to happen. Especially Paul Shane and Sue Pollard, all this whole gang. They were quite wonderful people to work with. And David and Jimmy liked it. David would normally be in there just shaking his shoulders, thinking it was hysterical. Sometimes he would say, okay, Ken, that's all we need, and cut it short. And I remember working with Barry Howard and Diane, and Barry had to sit on a toadstool and be the faun in L'Après-Midi en faun, and do all this strange stuff. Well, we rehearsed it on our own. We made it up as we went along. And Diane was the ballet, because she was a trained dancer. And she was doing these wonderful ballet moves. And there's Barry sitting on his toadstool being outrageous. And David came to see it and he said, "Ooh, I can't use all of that." So we had to readjust it because it got a bit bawdy, a bit, not vulgar, a bit saucy. And David knew how far to let it go before we go, that's too much. So I trusted his eye implicitly. And Barry and Diane went, yes, of course, we were just having fun. Of course, the three of us, we just kind of evolved it together. And David was the final decision. And that happened in music as well, when the band were playing, the little trio band. Sometimes they'd say, can we take that take again? And he said, no, the first time is fine. And I knew why, because the first time was just kind of not quite there. And that's how he looked at any dancing involved, just enough to look as if it was okay, but slightly off. And I learned a lot by working with him and Jimmy, allowing me freedom to work and then pulling the reins in when he thought it had gone a tad too far. And that was fun. And that happened in Diane and Barry and any numbers that the rest of the cast, not many of the cast actually did solo dancing. It was mainly at the end of each episode, there might have been some sort of company thing which I'd organised. Plus, all the extra cast and the very guest artists that would arrive, they already had seconds to learn it or learn anything. So it had to be kept simple, which was the concept of the piece, really, I think. All his work is based on freshness and naivety and the actors making it comedic, really. You can't, there's no such thing as comic choreography, but there's comic actors doing choreography. You know what I mean, Andrew? Mm-hmm. So that it's a two-way street. You can't do one without the other, really. Well, I don't know where I can say this. Bless him, he's gone now. But Barry Howard had a caravan. I think I had a caravan. Some stayed in a classy hotel. Some of us wanted to be in a caravan. So all I remember, wild parties at Barry's house with some of the yellow coats, some of the extras, and all of us. We just would meet at Barry's for an evening of not debauchery, but just drinking and hysterical laughter. I remember opening the fridge, his fridge, and it was full of gin bottles. He loved his gin, and he was a lovely man, a great fun to work with. And because he'd been in the, played Dame for years, so he knew the art of comedy, as indeed they all did. But I wasn't around for all the antics because I was only called in when they needed anything that was staged or choreographed. So I'm sure lots of crazy things went on and I wasn't there, but I've heard lots of bits about it. But no, I don't remember any badness going. It was fun. They always made me very welcome. And it was like going back to a family when you might have done one episode and then not be there for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And they'd say, oh, Ken, you're back. What are you doing? I went, I don't know. I'll do something. And that's how we operated, really. Well, a different set of cast, but just as funny. When I do remember working mainly with Carmen Silvera, because Gordon Kay didn't have to dance. I think, what's her name? Oh, it's gone. But the German, English-German crazy lady, Helga, or she used to do some tango. And that was funny. Carmen Silvera actually was a very good dancer. And she had to do a tap routine one time. So we worked it. I mean, the actors over there in another rehearsal room or another area of the room, rehearsing scenes with David and Richard, I think, or David and Charles. And we were in a corner rehearsing this tap routine. So we'd rehearse it. And she was a very good tapper. So we did all flashy stuff. And David would come over and say, oh, it's lovely, lovely, fantastic. It's too good. Carmen would look at me and went, too good? I said, what you mean, you've got to make it? He said, yes, she's not supposed to be very good. I went, ah. And Carmen looked at me and said, Ken, we'll never work again after this. But we did. And she knew how to make good tap look bad. And she brought the comedy element into it. And then one time I had to do eight girls dancing this Lederhosen dance, and Vicky Michelle was in it as well. She had only moments to learn it, like a day, if that. And we just went for it. We didn't quite know what the music was going to be, so the music was played along as we did it, type thing. Really good dancers at the time, so that was a surprise. I'd kind of got an idea what he wanted because I worked in Austria years ago. So I saw a lot of Lederhosen dancing, but made a comic version of it, you know, that was key. And then various bits of tangos that Helga had to do. One, I think, he had to do with Herr Flick, and he had a wooden leg or bad leg. So we had to choreograph the tango around the leg. He reminded me of it a few weeks ago. I saw him. He said, God, Ken, that dance was difficult because I had to do the whole tango with a bad leg. And that went to the London Palladium, I think, after that. I tell you what, though, Andrew, at the London Palladium, I was there on the opening night, the cast and David Croft and everybody was there. We stood at the back of the Palladium And I don't think I've seen an audience rock with laughter. And David looked at me, he said, I can't believe this. I said, I know, it's phenomenal, isn't it? I don't think I've seen an audience laughing so much. And then by all accounts, I wasn't aware of all this, but I think there was an issue about who got the star dressing room. I never really know who got it, whether it was Gordon or Carmen. So I leave that one out, but I do remember the bits of gossip going around. I think probably it went to Gordon because I think he probably was the star of the show, really, to be honest. But they were all strong performers. Arthur, Kenneth Connor. I mean, to work with these kind of people, it was a great honour. Kenneth Connor. I grew up watching Kenneth Connor. It is a Leclerc. And Arthur Boston, who's a great pal. It really was a good time. Laughter, that's what the main thing I remember. Even in rehearsals, people were laughing so much. And that was a great formula for the show, I think. They knew how to perform the comedy. And various cast changes came in, but never as quite good as the original casting that David put together. So it was great fun. I was very privileged to be asked again to work with David. And that was halfway through the run of Heidi High, I think, in 1984, I've written down here, that Hello, Hello started. So it's one of those things I never quite knew when I was going to be required. And you just arrive and go, okay, this is what we need. All right, get on with it, Ken. Thank you. That was it. He left you to it. So that showed a lot of trust in me and the cast that we would produce a product that he wanted. And that was, he allowed us that freedom, which was a great privilege. You don't often get that these days. I think I only might have done one episode, if that. I think when Kate Rabet was doing a tango at a party, and it's very brief, it was a cough and a spit, or there might have been some sort of Charleston. I don't remember that series as much. It was a little bit more serious. It wasn't the belly laughs that you'd get from Heidi High or Hello, Hello. It was very good, but there was very little dance in it, so a little bit of this. And the same for Oh, Dr. Beeching. I can't, for the life of me, remember what I did. There must have been a party scene, perhaps, I think. That was probably it, when they were all sort of in fancy dress. But I can't recall. And I suddenly realised it's a long time ago. Gosh, I've done so much since then. But it's good to have a memory going, gosh, I did all that. And I love, the main thing I have to stress, Andrew, sure, I love working with dancers and I have done for a long time, but working with actors is a completely different ball game. They bring an element that dancers don't always give, you know, and that's a joy to work with, I tell you, it really is. I think Heidi High, Andrew, was at Dovercourt at Maplin's. All my work was done there. They probably did studio time, but I wasn't involved with that. It was normally in the ballroom somewhere when Barry or Diane were doing something, if they're ballroom dancing, or it was in the big ballroom where all the support artists were there. I don't remember doing studio work, but I do remember doing studio work on Hello, Hello. We rehearsed at the studios in Acton, and then they have the studio day. And also you rang my lord and Oh, Dr. Beeching. I think I might've done a bit of location work on Oh, Dr. Beeching, but I honestly can't remember, I'm afraid, to give you details. But I do remember Dovercourt. just driving in going, where am I? What is this? Because, you know, it was kind of the end of the holiday camp, Butlins and Maplins and whatever, and Pontins were coming to the end of their heyday, I think. And I do remember they had to sort of spruce Maplins up a bit to make it look acceptable. And the actual reality of that holiday camp was a little bit dour. So the BBC, you know, department came in and spruced it up with colour and palm trees and everything. So yes, they made it look better than it was, really. but it was cold. I do remember the actors that we all had dress, you know, the wardrobe department had coats for them when it was cold, but they were a brave lot. And Jeffrey, bless him, had to go into the pool a lot because it was freezing. Everyone was so cold there. It wasn't spring. It was really like cold weather. But little did we know, or little did I know, that it would turn out to be such a success that it was. I thought, oh, it's just, without being flippant or arrogant, I thought, oh, it's just another job. I'll go and do it. Of course, now, 30-odd years later, I can't believe I'm still talking about it, which is kind of nice. the funny one for me, and I haven't seen it, is the one where Barry was doing L'Après-Midi en Fun. And the other one I remember, which I haven't seen, was the end of an episode where they all were whipping each other. of course, the ballroom stuff was fun. And then, because then Barry left and Ben Harris came in as Diane's, Yvonne's previous lover. And I remember her kept saying, every time he'd get a bit passionate, she would turn around and she would say, "Give me time." That was her like punchline. And a sweet, sweet lady. I didn't know till after I got to know that she was an Apache dancer many years ago, being thrown around and lifted up by boys and drops and spins. So, and she had a very painful hip, I believe. And she was in a lot of pain. I know when she was dancing, she wouldn't show it, but I could see her just favouring one leg. And she knew what she was doing. Barry didn't, bless him. He was no way a dancer. But the fact that he was able to play it under duress, going, oh, what? I think he thought, or his character should have been, ended up doing something better than a holiday camp. And so he carried that all the way through. And it was a wonderful relationship. They made me laugh, those two. Very grand, but just beautiful people. The other one, oh, Hello, Hello, of course, I've mentioned. That was all fun. But yes, Heidi High was, I think there was one, I'm jumping around, and it's all coming back. There was one sequence in Hello, Hello, where they all had to be sort of can-can dancers or Tiller Girl type dancers. And gradually, one by one, they came off the stage and jumped into a rubbish van. And that was kind of crazy to do. And not all of them, well, none of them were dancers, but to try and get them all to kick in time, that's quite an art. There's always one that's going off time, whether that's intentional or not, but it always gets a laugh when, like Kenneth Connor, if he was in it, would not quite get it on the right time. So thinking, ooh, you'd never see that in rehearsals. It was all right. But on the shoot, he might, or whoever the actor was, might have just gone a bit wrong, just for fun. And you could do what you like, basically. If David was happy, go, fine, cut, that's good. And so you go, you'd walk away going, I've come all this way, that's all we did. But that was what he wanted, that's all he needed, you know. So they were very, all I remember, we just laughed a lot on set, whichever group we work with. Is interesting on You Rang My Lord, Donald Hewlett played Lord somebody, and I worked with him later because I directed Ronnie Corbett's pantomimes for about 6 years. And Ronnie said, Ken, to play the Baron this year, let's get Donald Hewlett. And what a gracious man he was. And Ronnie was on stage one night as Dane, and they were doing a duet. And Donald, and he wasn't young, he was knocking on a bit then, it's a very wordy song. And of course, he couldn't always remember his lines. So Ronnie knew his lines. So he'd sing "You're his line," and he'd sing his own line. And Donald would go, oh, yes, of course, yes. And Ronnie called me up one night, as he often did after the show. I said, how'd it go? He said, Ken, I lost it tonight. I completely froze. I said, what happened? He said, Donald knew every line. And it kind of threw Ronnie. And he said, I didn't know whether I was Widow Twankey, whether I was Mother Goose, whether I was this, that, and the other. I said, I froze on stage. And that's when I think his wife said, Ronnie, that's your last panto. And Donald Hewlett, bless him, was in that show. I should remember him dearly. So yes, good names. I look back over the people I've worked with over years, real funny people, good names. And I thought, what an honor, you know, to work with these people. I'm not sure whether people these days are kind of impressed by that, but I am. Because these names I grew up with, the Kenneth Connor, the Ronnie Corbetts, the Ronnie Barkers, the Jimmy Tarbucks, going, you watch them as a kid and then you get a chance to actually work with them. Sue Pollard, Ruth Maddock, I mean, Paul said to me, Paul Shane, we were just chatting one night, I think we were having a cigarette. He said, oh, Ken, this has come just at the right time. I said, so what do you plan to do? He said, I'm going to buy fish and chip shops for all my family, set them up in business. I think he probably did. That's the sort of generous man he was. And that's why David cast these people, because they were quite unique. They didn't pretend to be anything else than who they were. And that was the strength of the show, I think. And Simon Cadell was glorious, Teddy Grant, and he just was a lovely man. I saw his sister, Selena, a couple of years ago. And I said, Selena, you don't know me, but I work with Simon. Oh, darling, did you? I said, yes, we worked together on Heidi High. What a gem he was. She said, oh, darling, take me. Oh, yes. She was so thrilled I'd come up and introduce myself as a link to her brother. And that's how this business kind of works, really, I think. I think I was on Oh, Dr. Beeching's set at a railway station. I have no idea where it was, and I don't know what I was doing there. I might have gone up there a day early and booked into the hotel. I thought, well, I'll just go on the set and see what they're doing. But I can't be very sure about that, Andrew. I'm a bit vague. The two that are strong in my mind are obviously Heidi High and Hello, Hello, because they're high comedy content. The others, I'm sorry, I'm a bit vague on, so I'll have to pass on that question, I think. Well, for the last 10 or 12 years, I've been working on the stage show of Horrible Histories. Terrible Tudors, Vile Victorians, Rotten Romans, Geeky Greeks, and so on. It's just based on a series of books you probably know. And there again, that's actors, two or four or three. And they tell the horrible histories, interspersed with crazy, wacky songs. And they're all actors, of course. They're not trained dancers, and they're not hired for that. They're trained for their comic and their acting abilities. So I kind of stage numbers in that if they need them, thinking, you know, when I first started, I thought, oh, this looks just this, this, and this, and it's done. But they keep asking me back. So I must be doing something right. And at Christmas time, I normally do pantos. There's a project in the wind, which I can't mention. It's a new musical, which I'm meeting the writer this week. All I can say, it's based on tribute acts, you know, not big bands, solo performed like Jackson, Whitney Houston, John Lennon, Marilyn Monroe, and their backstory. So that might be an interesting project. But you know, these things take ages to actually, you have to present it to management as a kind of workshop. And if they like it, they might say, yep, we'll run with this. We'll take it on a tour, see how it goes, and maybe bring it into town if it's that good. So one never knows with musicals or projects whether this is going to be running on and over, or it's just a one-off, thank you very much, goodbye. So I'm ever open to options and offers. I must admit now I'm of a, you know, getting on a bit. The offers are coming fewer than they used to, but that's all right. The resume still stands. You're very welcome, Andrew, and I look forward to seeing it somewhere. The edited version,